can just focus on certain special things, that will make things simple for you.
And Canada's scandal-laden minority liberal government set to be defeated tomorrow after 17 months in power. The three opposition parties say Prime Minister Paul Martin's presiding over a corrupt administration that will probably lose a vote of no confidence in the parliament. Here's more news on USARadio.com. Richard Curtis reporting, USA Radio Network News.
Okay, everybody, let's play Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community? We'll start with Trinise from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Wait, hold on. I didn't say I wanted to volunteer.
Ah, but you will, Trinise, because we know how much you can't stand your little brother.
That's true.
So, we're giving you a little sister.
A what?
And here's your bratty little brother to tell you more.
You know you always wanted a little sister instead of me?
Yeah.
Well, you can get a little sister when you volunteer in the Big Brother Big Sister program down at the community center.
Yeah, what he said.
Yeah, you two can go shopping together, see movies.
And stay far away from me.
You said that right.
Word.
But I like the little sister thing.
To find more mentoring programs and other ways to volunteer in your community, log on to teensvolunteer.org. And join us next time for another episode of Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community? Do what you like to do. Volunteer. A public service message brought to you by the USA Freedom Corps, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. It's becoming increasingly clear to Americans, not just Democrats, but independents and Republicans as well, that the Iraqi war was a mistake. It's generally understood now by virtually everyone, including strong supporters of the president, that Iraq did not have weapons of mass destruction, most assuredly not the nuclear weapons that the president, the vice president, the Condoleezza Rice, Don Rumsfeld, and others warned us against, nor did they have any significant biological or chemical weapons capability whatsoever. It's becoming increasingly clear to everyone, and again, not just Democrats, not just independents, that the reason we went to war, the stated reason by the Bush administration, protecting us against chemical, biological, nuclear weapons, simply wasn't true. In fact, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone, any sane person in America who watches public issues, who actually can argue that the administration told Americans the truth. We all know now that when Bush and Cheney and Rice and Rumsfeld and Colin Powell and the others were selling us the war, they were telling us lies. So the conversation has shifted. The question is not, did the president and the vice president tell us things that were false? But did they actually lie about it? In other words, you know the difference between an untruth and a lie. If I tell you something I think is true, and it turns out not to be true, well, that's an untruth. If I tell you something I know to be false, that's a lie. And so the administration's defenders, having conceded a very important point, which is that the entire Bush administration was telling Americans untruths prior to the war, in order to get us to go to war in Iraq, are now backing up to another defense. They're saying, okay, all right, yes, the entire Bush administration told untruths to the American people, but they weren't lies. In other words, yes, we told falsehoods, but we didn't know they were false. We were tricked. We had no reason to know that Iraq didn't have these weapons. Everyone thought they were true. And therefore, okay, yeah, oops, we got you into a war. Yes, okay, 2,100 Americans are dying and have died, excuse me, and another several thousand, I assume, will die before the war's over. And yes, billions of dollars are being spent every single day in Iraq. And yes, there's no way out. But help us. We didn't do it on purpose. We're in trouble now. Can you help us out? It kind of reminds me of, an analogy to if you're in a campsite and a bear comes and ravages your campsite, steals all your belongings, you know, eats your food, and you go out to hunt the bear. And on the way to hunt the bear, the guy you're with says, "Ooh, look, there, right there is a beehive." And in the beehive, you look and you see there are a bunch of bees flying around the beehive. And the guy you're with says, "You know, once I remember a bee actually leaving that beehive and stinging somebody. It's clearly a danger. Plus, it's a source of the bear's honey." And you say, "You know what? I think we should go after the bear. The beehive, yeah, I mean, it's a problem, but let's go after the bear first. It's the one that's repeatedly attacking us, stealing our provisions, indeed killing us." Of course, the bear in my analogy is Al-Qaeda. "Let's go after the bear first, and then if there's time and we have the resources, we can deal with the beehive." And your friend, we'll call him George, decides that it would be fun to shoot at the beehive, to knock it out. Well, of course, he shoots at the beehive and kills a few bees in the center. But meanwhile, all the bees are very angry. They're escaping the beehive, and they start to sting everybody around. And while George is on the ground, covered in bees who are gnawing at him, he says, "Help, help." And you say, "You know, I really don't think you should have shot that beehive." And he says, "Stop talking about shooting the beehive. Stop talking about the bear. We've got important problems. I'm being stung here." And you know what? To some extent, the person being stung by the bees, the Republicans supporting the war in Iraq, they have a point. They say, "Okay, fine. It was a mistake to go in. It clearly was based on falsehoods. Yeah, all the Iraqi defectors to which this administration paid millions of dollars lied to us. And yes, it was all a lie. But hey, we're being stung now. What do we do?" And like I said, to an extent, they have a point. We have to figure out what we're going to do. Clearly, it was a mistake to get involved in this war. But the question is, do we leave now? How do we get out? And the other question, of course, is, did the Bush administration simply tell us falsehoods, or did they know the truth and then lie about it to us? I have to say, Democrats are really stepping up to the plate in both regards. Into the question of what we do now, we have, of course, Congressman John Murtha of Pennsylvania, a long-serving veteran in Congress, a long-serving veteran Marine, who is recognizing that the presence of American troops in Iraq actually serves to harm our mission there of trying to make Iraq as peaceful a place as possible, and is talking about drawing down our troops to get out. The Republicans responded, of course, not by talking about a detailed plan of when and how to withdraw American troops, by instead calling Murtha a coward and by putting forth a resolution to immediately draw troops out tomorrow, which, of course, the Democrats don't agree with, because no one is saying we should just turn our backs tomorrow. I want to talk about that this over the next 2 hours, and also want to talk about the new proof that's come out. And there's a lot of proof already, but the new proof that's come out that the administration not only told us untruth to get us into this war in Iraq, but actively lied to us. I'm referring to the September 21st, 2001 President's Daily Brief. Have you heard this story? Probably not. But I'll tell you about it after the break. If you want to join in, 877-528-TALK. We'll be back after this.
I know you've heard me talk about Margie Garrison, the arthritis lady, but have I told you about the time she was thrown out of an arthritis convention for telling the truth that most arthritis sufferers attending that convention didn't need the expensive and maybe dangerous drugs and treatments they were being sold? Man alive, did they hustle her out of there pronto? This might not work for absolutely everybody, but if you get Mrs. Garrison's program and give it a try for a year and it doesn't end up ending most of your pain, ask for your money back. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts.com. That's H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. See what the doctors are saying about Mrs. Garrison's program and if this works for you or a member of your family.
Oh,
Okay, everybody, it's time for another game of Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community? Let's go to Ella in Santa Monica, California.
Hey, wait, I don't want to volunteer.
Well, I have a feeling you'll change your mind when you realize how much fun volunteering really can be.
But
in fact, Ella, we've asked your entire algebra class here to tell you more.
Wait, you did what?
Take it away, class.
Hey, Ella, we've been noticing you lately in algebra class.
You have?
I'm feeling some love here.
Yeah, and we were thinking that you should start tutoring people because you're all, like, smart and stuff.
I should?
Yeah, you free tonight?
Go for it!
I should.
They love you, Ella! Well, sounds like we have another happy volunteer.
That's me.
To find out ways you can volunteer in your community, log on to teensvolunteer.org and join us next time for another episode of Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community? Do what you like to do. Volunteer. A public service message brought to you by the USA Freedom Corps, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is a Sunday Weekly Review. All topics are valid. We don't have to talk only about Iraq. If you want to talk about the rising unemployment in this country, the huge deficits, the fact that we are headed for the worst economic times really America has seen in a very long time, certainly since the last Bush administration, that's all fair game. We could talk about intelligent design, Plan B, whatever you want to talk about. But my focus, at least at the start of the hour, is going to be on the war in Iraq. Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. And my focus is on how the administration is trying to change the subject. It is pretty much clear, and this is what's so interesting to me, the administration is conceding, in effect, that the war in Iraq was based on falsehoods. No one in the administration today disputes that all the untruths the administration told us were indeed untrue. That, yes, Iraq didn't have weapons of mass destruction, that there were no significant ties between Iraq and al-Qaeda. All the things that got Americans to get us into war in the first place, you don't see argued too much by Republicans anymore. Democrats and independents are already convinced, but even the majority of Republicans, ask them, and they will tell you, yeah, okay, there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Yeah, all right, the president didn't tell us the truth. Fine. They move on to the next argument, the one that Dick Cheney, Vice President Dick Cheney, brought up in his recent speech, which is, okay, fine, we told you falsehoods, but don't blame us for that. Blame the intelligence agencies. Everybody believed these falsehoods. Everyone in Congress had the same intelligence reports we did. It's the intelligence agency's fault. We got this false information. Don't blame us. Indeed, Dick Cheney called this baseless attacks, false charges, and trying to rewrite history, as Dick Cheney tried to himself rewrite history to argue, in fact, that the Downing Street memo, which, by the way, the administration has agreed is accurate, or at least exists, that it's not a forgery, the Downing Street memo, which said that the administration was manipulating the facts around the truth, manipulating the facts around the intelligence, that they wanted to go to war and was looking for all kinds of facts to back up that war. That's the next question. And that's what Dick Cheney and George Bush are fighting so hard to say. They're saying, in effect, this is a direct quote, that a bipartisan Senate investigation found no evidence of political pressure to change the intelligence community's judgment. They refer to the Silberman Robb report. But there's a problem with that report, as even Judge Lawrence Silberman, who's as right-wing a hawk as you can get, has said he was ordered by the president not to look at the use of intelligence by policymakers. In other words, let's be clear about exactly what's true here. And by the way, if you have questions about it, you dispute me, please call in, 877-528-TALK. But here's what we know. We know that the intelligence community was trying to do its job, that they were putting forth evidence, in fact, that guess what? Saddam Hussein did not have connections to al-Qaeda. And indeed, that he did not have weapons of mass destruction. They were doing their job. They were sifting through the hundreds of thousands of millions of pieces of raw data to show, in effect, what we now know to be true today. Iraq didn't have WMDs, was not a threat. If anything, it was a threat like that bee. A single bee gets loose from a beehive. but not the threat of a bear, not the threat of Al-Qaeda. We know that to be true now. But what we don't know, what we still don't know today, although all the evidence suggests it's true, is exactly how the president, the vice president, Condoleezza Rice and others, used that intelligence. Here's what clearly is the case, folks. And if you doubt this, I'm going to be giving you evidence after evidence after evidence over the next 2 hours so that if you have your doubts or you have a friend who has his or her doubts and comes to you and says, okay, fine, yeah, the president told us some things that were false, but they didn't mean to. They just got bad intelligence. You can give them these facts. The intelligence was pretty good. They told the president what we now know to be true. The problem is that they went through millions of pieces of evidence and they rejected 999,990. But then they found 10 pieces of evidence that might possibly suggest some evidence that Saddam Hussein had some connection with Al-Qaeda, cherry-picking the evidence, and they put those forward as if they were true. But what I'm going to go through the next couple hours is example after example of how the evidence that the administration used, they knew before they used it that that evidence was unreliable. And nowhere is that clearer than the president's daily brief on September 21st, 2001, 10 days after the attack on the World Trade Center. That brief, which is still confidential, there is strong evidence to suggest, and government records and sources have mentioned in the National Journal and in other places, I have some sources on my own, we've been told that the president's daily brief on September 21st, 10 days after September 11th, told him that there was no evidence linking Saddam Hussein to the attacks. As the National Journal wrote, there was scant credible evidence that Iraq had any significant collaborative ties with Al-Qaeda, according to government records and current and former officials with firsthand knowledge of the matter. And the question is, why has the president refused both Republican and Democratic requests to turn over that September 21st President's Daily Brief? I'm going to talk about that. I'm also going to get to your calls right after the break. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, back after this.
If you've got kids, chances are sooner or later you're going to need dental help. And when you do, I hope you'll remember 1995dental.com. 1995dental.com tells you how to save about 50% on braces for your kids, similar savings on other services. Because this isn't insurance, there is no waiting period, no exclusion, no claim forms to fill out. You get instant savings from tens of thousands of dentists coast to coast. Unlike a lot of insurance policies, this discount program covers cosmetic dentistry, bonding, and cleaning. For the individual, it's $11.95 a month. But for the entire family, everyone who lives under your roof, regardless of age or relationship, it's $19.95 a month. Hence our name, 1995dental.com. Type in the numbers 1995, then the word dental.com. 1995dental.com will save you.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing the change in the argument that the Republican Party is making. No one seemed to suggest that today going into Iraq was a good idea. Everyone, at least, is clear that the reasons they gave us for going into Iraq were untrue. But they're changing the topic. They're saying, all right, the president's not malicious. He's not evil. He's incompetent, right? He accidentally got us into the war. Oops. 2,100 Americans are dead. Hundreds of billions of dollars are wasted. You know, hundreds of billions more will be wasted. Thousands more will die. But it was a mistake, folks. It didn't mean to. Kind of like that amiable dunce, Will Ferrell, in that famous Saturday Night Live episode that they never replay anymore about what would happen if Bush is president. Did you see that one? He's hiding under the table. There's fire outside. And they say, Mr. President, Mr. President. And he doesn't want to come up from under his desk. And he finally comes up and says, I'm sorry, America. I didn't mean to accidentally get us into that war. Well, that's indeed the president's argument. That's, in fact, their strongest argument. Yes, he got us into a mistaken war. But, you know, he didn't mean to. The information he gave that was false, he didn't know it was false when he gave it. He never would have lied to you, America. Well, the evidence is increasingly clear that not only did the president tell us untruths, but they were lies. They were lies. And that's what, indeed, the President's Daily Brief and many other examples that I'm going to give over the next 2 hours show. Let me go to the phones. It's 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Alice in California, welcome back to the Inside Scoop.
The Republicans have a problem trying to make out that the deceit was not deliberate. They have been planning it for years. And then there is the Downing Street minutes where Bush and Blair were planning it. It's going to be tough for them to lie their way out of it now.
Well, it is tough, Alice, and perhaps because increasingly evidence comes out. It's not just the Downing Street memo. It's not just Paul O'Neill, who showed in his book that 10 days after President Bush was in office, January 30th, 2001, he had divided up Iraq into various oil fields. It's now increasingly clear that every single piece of evidence upon which Cheney relied, every one of it, was incredible and known to be. That's the important thing, known to be incredible, unbelievable, by the very people who used it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I don't know if you have another point. I'll give you an example. There's a guy by the name of Adnan Ihsan Saeed al-Hadiri, okay? And he was someone who claimed he could point out exactly where Iraq had chemical, biological, nuclear weapons, and was actually cited in the New York Times back when they were trying to sell this war for that. But what we now know is that 3 days before he was quoted in the New York Times, clearly the White House had put him up to it, both the CIA and the DIA, which is not often talked about, the Defense Intelligence Agency, pronounced him unreliable. They gave him a polygraph test, a lie detector test, and he failed. And, in fact, they found that the information he had was completely out of date, related to years and years before. And, in fact, he knew nothing except Iraq's conventional programs. But they didn't tell this to New York Times. New York Times puts it out, sort of the willing or unwilling dupe of the Bush administration. And now it's only coming out that not only was his information unreliable, but we knew it was unreliable at the time that we used him. But here's the kicker. His information is still used by the White House. They still cite him as a source even today. And it's amazing to me how they do that. But they do. And so one of the things I want to do throughout this program is talk about all the various ways we know that what you say is true, Alice. Not just that they told us falsehoods, but that they knew they were false when they told them to us. I don't know if you have another comment, Alice.
Nothing but lies.
Nothing but lies. That's the truth. Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. As I said, I think the focus, though, really should be an obscure article in the National Journal. The National Journal is a news magazine. Doesn't get a lot of attention. It focuses on internal Washington. And it reported on Tuesday a story that really hasn't gotten any press. And that is the September 21st, 2001 President Daily Brief. Now, I think you're going to hear a lot about this in the future. I want to be the first to give you the inside scoop now. What is the PDB, the President's Daily Brief? Well, every morning, every president of the United States gets a briefing, maybe 30, 45-minute briefing, on exactly what are the threats to America. And it's called the President's Daily Brief. You may recall that before September 11th, President Bush got a PDB, a President's Daily Brief, saying bin Laden determined to attack the United States, and mentioned that bin Laden was determined to fly planes into buildings and so forth, and in fact even mentioned the World Trade Center and some targets in Washington. Bush promptly ignored that and did nothing and went on vacation to Crawford, and of course September 11th, 2001 happened. Well, now we know from the National Journal that 10 days after September 11, 2001, President Bush was anxious to find out, was there a connection between Saddam Hussein and the attacks? And what did the PDB say? They said there was no evidence linking the Iraqi regime of Saddam Hussein to the attacks. And there was scant credible evidence that Iraq had any significant collaborative ties with al-Qaeda. And yet, over the next year, that's exactly the lie the Bush administration would tell us. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
This is Newsbreak. Two people were killed today after a Greyhound bus carrying more than 40 people overturned on California Highway 101 in Santa Maria. Santa Barbara County Fire Battalion Chief Eric Peterson also said seven people were injured in the crash. A spokesman for Greyhound said the company will assist in the investigation. At least 10 people were killed from an earthquake off the southern coast of Iran. The U.S. Geological Survey says the quake was measured at 6.1 magnitude. More than 50 others were injured in the quake. The trial of former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein is set to resume tomorrow in Baghdad, but may be postponed again. Defense lawyers are expected to ask for more time to prepare their case, and the government might want to delay it so as not to disrupt the December 15th parliamentary elections. And travelers are heading back home. Many of the estimated 37 million who left Wednesday for their Thanksgiving travel destinations are headed back home today, making for one of the busiest travel days of the year. One added bonus is most of the nation is experiencing good weather. I'm David Lowe reporting for the USA Radio Network.
The following from News Broadcast Network. Homeland Security has required us to strengthen our defense and intelligence networks, not only against terrorism, but also against cyber warfare, hacker intruders, and infrastructure failures. CACI provides critical support to the Defense Department, the U.S. Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, and other state and federal agencies to help America maximize its strength. I'm Lee Shepard. Internet search expert Darcy Cobb says what's been missing from online shopping until now is the fun of browsing, comparing gifts, and getting unique gift ideas from various stores.
Well, search engines and online shopping sites traditionally offered shoppers the option to browse by product details, price, and retailer. But what about for those impossible to shop for people? A brand new shopping feature at Ask Jeeves helped out with that dilemma. You can find the perfect holiday gift by just entering a few words into Ask.com.
I'm Lee Shepard. The preceding from News Broadcast Network.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gabe Merkin, author of The Healthy Heart Miracle. Having high blood levels of uric acid is one of the most dependable predictors of who will become fat and develop high blood pressure later on. 53% of middle-aged men who gained more than 10% of their weight over 5 years had high blood pressure. These same men also had higher uric acid levels, cholesterol, triglycerides, norepinephrine, insulin, and leptin levels. The Framingham study showed that having a high cholesterol increases your risk for a heart attack. More recent data associate heart attacks with having a high uric acid and high blood pressure, gaining weight with aging, having a high C-reactive protein blood test, which may be an indicator of infection, eating too much partially hydrogenated fats, saturated fats, and eating too few vegetables. And for people who store fat primarily in their bellies, by eating too much sugar and flour. I'm Dr. Gabe Merkin.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The next time your Republican friend, colleague, family member talks to you over Thanksgiving dinner or something else and tells you, well, you know, okay, fine, there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, maybe the whole thing was a mistake, but the president didn't deliberately lie to us. He didn't know that Saddam Hussein didn't have WMDs. He didn't know that Saddam Hussein didn't have connections with Al-Qaeda. He thought it was true. Everyone thought it was true. Oops, he got us in a war. Don't blame the guy. And when once you make them realize that, of course, their best defense of the president is that he's incompetent, you can go back and say, well, but he's not just incompetent. Yes, he did know. Mention to your colleague, your friend, your family member, tell them about the September 21st presidential daily briefing. Now, this is derived from all the best resources we have, from the human spies on the ground, from electronic intercepts, foreign intelligence services. It's all put together. And Bush ordered this. It wasn't even brought to him. Bush said, I want to know about contacts between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. I want to know whether Saddam Hussein caused September 11th. They came back and said, no, he didn't. In fact, they said, the only real contacts between the groups were Saddam Hussein wanted to spy on Al-Qaeda. Saddam viewed Al-Qaeda as a threat to his regime, and so he was considering spying on Al-Qaeda, and that was really their only connections. Okay? So where is this briefing today? You want to read it? I'm afraid you can't. Even though Congress has demanded to see the document, the Senate Intelligence Committee, Republicans and Democrats, have asked the White House for the document, they refuse to turn it over. Not just to you and me and the public. I could understand maybe how they don't want to show a very classified document to us, although frankly all they have to do is white out the names so that we don't know who brought us the information, but we can at least read the information. They won't even give it to the senators. They won't even give it to the Republican senators on the Intelligence Committee who've asked for it. Now ask yourself, when Vice President Cheney says that Congress had the same information to go to war that Bush did, and they voted to go to war with the same information that Bush did, why he won't turn over even today the September 21st presidential daily briefing to Republicans on the Senate Intelligence Committee? And I'm afraid your friend, your colleague, your family member, their mouth will drop. They won't believe you. You'll show them the National Journal article, which I'll link to on my site. And they'll have to concede that, yes, of course, Congress didn't have the information that Bush did. They still don't have the information that Bush did. And you have to ask yourself, what are they trying to hide? Toll free, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Let's go to John in San Diego. John, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Hey, listen, it kind of frustrates me to listen to you be so sure that there was no link between Saddam and 9/11 or terrorism. To stand up there and just say he lied and you know for sure,
right,
is seems like just foolhardy to me. Right after 9/11, you guys were complaining that the president didn't connect dots. To me, he
right.
was connecting dots when it came to Saddam. There's plenty of proof in my way of thinking that their terrorism was rampant there. Look at Salmon Pack. That's basically a airplane hijacking training field for terrorism. It's there in Iraq.
Well, let me tell you what the PDB said. All right.
Why did Clinton bomb Iraq and say that he did it because he was sure that they had weapons of mass destruction?
Well,
you got the president of Iraq offering $30,000 to Palestinians to bomb Israelis.
Okay, John.
Bomb Israelis.
Let me deal with your points one by one because I think you raised some strong
sure.
points. All right. First, the question of weapons of mass destruction and connections to Al-Qaeda. All right. The best evidence would be all the things that our intelligence agency knows, the CIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, foreign intelligence groups, our spies on the ground, and it's all put together in this president's daily brief. Okay? Daily brief said, and let's go through to what it said, because Bush ordered the brief.
But you don't know what it said. You say you think you know what it says. You haven't ever seen it.
I have not seen the president's daily brief.
You're just guessing.
Well, no,
I'm
not guessing because this is what current and former officials with first-hand knowledge of the matter have said and government records. And the answer is if it doesn't say it, you know, why doesn't the president disclose it?
So if he doesn't disclose a top secret memo, then somehow he's guilty of lying.
Well, let's talk about what this memo said, and then
look at the way that the senators are. You're calling him an amiable dunce, but this
I think that's the best option.
Is being called by the senators who evil and manipulative, and somehow able to manipulate them into voting on a war. then the next senator will call him a dupe, who's basically Cheney's is led around by Cheney.
Well, I
mean,
think
you guys don't have anything straight.
Well, let's talk about this because there's a lot of details here, John. All right. Yes,
all right.
I do think Cheney is mostly behind it, and Bush is following along and doing what Cheney said. Absolutely. But it was Saturday Night Live. They called him an amiable dunce. In fact, I think it's Republicans today that are calling Bush an amiable dunce. They're saying, oops, he got us into war. It was a mistake. He didn't mean to.
No, I haven't heard one Republican call him an amiable dunce.
No, they haven't used those words.
Didn't.
They haven't used those words, but they said, oops, he got us into war. John, let me ask you this. Do you believe that there are weapons of mass destruction, that Saddam Hussein was really developing nuclear weapons? Do you believe that?
I think that if he would have been left untethered, he would have developed them.
That's not my question.
Hands.
My question to you is, was Saddam Hussein in 01, 02, 03?
At some point. He used them, but
not nuclear weapons.
Just before we
answer my
invaded,
question,
we
John.
Don't know.
John, answer my question. Do you think that Saddam Hussein, now knowing what you know, in 01, 02, 03, the time we attacked, was developing nuclear weapons? Dick Cheney said he has reconstituted nuclear weapons. Can you agree with me that statement by Dick Cheney was false?
Well, what I can agree with you is that yes, that was false.
Okay.
But it was based. I don't think he was trying to lie to us.
Okay.
I think it
fine.
Was just.
So John,
on,
you're
on
making
the
that's fine.
He,
John, you're making the typical Republican argument that's made today.
I mean,
the argument is. No, hold on. Let me make. Well, you spoke, John. Let me. I'll tell you what, John. Let me make. Hold on, John. Wait a minute. We can't both talk at once. Let me respond
sure.
to you, and then I promise I will give you more than
all
enough
right.
time to speak. Fair enough? Okay.
Fair enough.
You have agreed with me, and I said this is the typical Republican argument today. No one is arguing today that I've heard, no one sane and rational who studied this, that Saddam Hussein really did have these weapons, and the statements that the president and the vice president, everyone made before the war were true. They are conceding that they were false, but they're saying, as you have just said, they didn't intend it to be false. That's what I meant by, oops, he got us into war, and amiable dunce. Those are my words, not the Republicans' words. But even you have conceded that the words that the administration used to get us into war turned out to be untrue. And now the question is, did they know it was untrue? In other words, was it evil and manipulative, or was it, you know, incompetence? You know, we mistakenly got us into war. All right. We had a commission. The Robin Silberman Commission, and it analyzed the actual intelligence. And they found that the actual intelligence was good, that actually the intelligence that was going to the administration, they couldn't blame people down there, all right? But then the question came, how did they use the intelligence? And the administration refuses to allow anyone, still to this day, to investigate how they used the intelligence. Now, maybe you say, okay, they did nothing wrong, but they don't want us to find out that they did nothing wrong. I think that if they did nothing wrong, they'd like to show America why they did nothing wrong. So here we have this PDB. Yes, I haven't seen it yet, but I do know what firsthand government officials are saying. And here's what they're saying, and it agrees with some of the things you're saying. It says that there's no evidence that Saddam Hussein had any connection to September 11th, that the only ties he had with al-Qaeda is when he tried to spy on it. It also said, as you've pointed out, that Iraq, like some 22 other Arab countries, helped Palestinian terrorists. And yes, they did, along with Egypt and Syria and Saudi Arabia and Algeria and Tunisia and Morocco. All of them helped Palestinian terrorists. Not a good thing.
Well, what was Salman Pak all about? I mean, do you think that's just a...
Well, what, Algeria has training camps. Saudi Arabia has training camps.
Do they have to teach people how to hijack airplanes? Is that basically something the terrorists do?
I didn't say that Iraq was... First of all, I'd like to see the evidence of that, and I'd love for you to submit it on my website at RadioInsideScoop.com because I don't know anything about what you're talking about.
You know
but
what
I do know...
Salman Pak.
I do know... spell it for me. Go ahead.
I don't know how to spell it.
Okay. Because I haven't heard of this before, and I've been studying this pretty closely.
I think. But I don't...
Okay. But there's more... But here's the thing. Here's the thing. This PDB is given to the president. It's given to the vice president, secretary of defense, everybody. Okay? Now, Cheney has argued that the Senate that voted for the war had the exact same intelligence the president has.
Yeah.
Now, can you agree with me that that statement by Dick Cheney is false?
Well,
if it's not false, why won't he turn over?
It might have been. It was clarified and.
It wasn't the same intelligence, was it?
Yeah.
It was the same intelligence. Then answer me this, John.
It was given the same basic information.
John, if it's the same intelligence.
From what I understand,
tell me this.
The information that they got that the president had.
John, tell me this.
Even was showed it. That there was even more of a problem with Iraq than what went to the
Actually, that's exactly false, and I will go through the National Intelligence Estimate after the break, and I will give you exactly what Congress found out and what the president knew, because they're very different things. But let me ask you the question before we go to break, and I promise to get back to you. Why is the president of the United States afraid to turn over, not to you, not to me, but to a Republican on the Senate Intelligence Committee, someone who supposedly should be able to keep a secret or they shouldn't be our senator, why is he afraid to turn over to them this September 21st President Daily Brief? Can you answer that question? We're going to go back. I want you to think about that question, John. We're going to take a break now. I want you to think about that question. See if you can give me an answer. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, the television show that America grew up watching, now available on DVD. 20 episodes are yours for just $29.99. That's the money-saving price if you order online from RetroTelevision.com. RetroTelevision.com. Wild Kingdom, featuring Marlon Perkins and all the regular features that made this show a favorite family watching habit. Sorry, phone orders are not available at this low price of $29.99 for 20 episodes. Order this set now and get 3 episodes with famed primate researcher Diana Fossey from Gorillas in the Mist. Order from RetroTelevision.com or go to www.TalkStarRadio.com. Save 25% with the online offering Wild Kingdom from RetroTelevision.com and TalkStar Radio.
Johnny Reese is a major league pitcher who has always had a talent for striking people out. Teams fell over themselves trying to recruit the young man with a menacing fastball. But baseball isn't his only talent. You see, he's also a major league hitman, a contract killer who likes his work. Reese can do more than strike you out. He can eliminate you altogether. Jack Kane, a retired New York City detective, has a talent of his own, catching bad guys. When it comes to murder investigations, Jack Kane is a big leaguer, too. For action and suspense, Squeeze Play by Jim Harrington is a grand slam. You can buy a Squeeze Play at all your favorite online booksellers. But for TalkStar Radio listeners, this is a special deal. Buy Squeeze Play now at a special discounted price and receive a signed autographed copy from the author. Buy yours now at yourmorning.com. Buy yours for the holidays today, yourmorning.com.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Having conceded, the Bush administration, having conceded, in effect, that they told us falsehoods before the war about weapons of mass destruction, they're now going on the attack and saying, okay, yeah, we told you things that weren't true, but it's not our fault. We didn't intentionally lie to you. We accidentally lied to you. And we're talking over the next 2 hours about what the evidence is, about whether the fact that they told us things that were false is stuff that they should have known before they told us. In other words, was it manipulative? Was it, as the Downing Street memo said, fixing the facts around the intelligence? Or was it just a mistake? Oops, they got us into a war kind of thing. And holding on the line is John from San Diego, who takes the Republican line and says, you know what, they didn't mean to tell us these lies. They didn't know they were false when they told them. The problem is the evidence is building up. It's not just the September 21st brief. It's not just the Downing Street memo. It's also Paul O'Neill, Treasury Secretary, and his map of Iraq, dividing it into 10 separate oil sectors. It's the uranium out of Niger, which the Department of Energy had never believed that those aluminum tubes had anything to do with a nuclear program. The State Department was convinced the Niger claim was bogus. The source for the claims about biological weapons was a guy named Curveball, who had a drinking problem, and the German intelligence said not to trust this information. Colin Powell's warnings about mobile weapons labs, he, in fact, had doubts about. There is al-Libi, al-Hadari, there's Ahmed Chalabi, all of whom told us information that was described by our intelligence sources as unreliable, and yet the administration used the information anyway. So when the question comes, why is it that they won't disclose to the Senate Intelligence Committee, to Republicans, to people who should be able to protect intelligence, this September 21st, 2001 brief, I have not heard any answer from the administration. I'd like to ask John if he's still holding on. Why don't you think they're turning over, at least to the Senate Intelligence Committee, this memo?
I really don't know. I suppose it's a privacy thing with the president. I don't think that there's a separation of these like legislative and
But you don't think it's a good idea,
and
do you?
I think, like, if the president asked the Congress to turn over their papers, they wouldn't do it. Why should the president have to turn papers over to them?
So basically what you're arguing is that when Congress is deciding on whether or not to go to war, they should not get the same information that the president has. Is that fair?
I think that his private records are his private records, yeah.
His private records. Now, it's interesting when you say his private records. Well, hold on. This is a presidential daily intelligence brief. Put together by the CIA, the DIA, the spies all across the administration. You consider this the president's, his private papers. Do you think that the CIA should also give these same assessments to Congress, or do you think that only the president should know these things?
My understanding is they do get the almost the same information. It's not changed in any big way. It's made more easily read or whatever, because the senators, hell, they don't even read them anyway.
Well, unfortunately, John,
a senator that didn't even read the information that before the war, and he voted to go to war.
I'll tell you this. I wish it were true. Unfortunately, it's not. And after the break, I'll be going through exactly what the National Intelligence Estimate told the president. Sure, I'll be happy to.
Why did Clinton bomb Iraq and then get on the news and tell us, or get on the TV and tell us that he had weapons of mass destruction and
okay.
they would be used
against Good question. Us. Good question. Let's deal with it. First of all,
did he lie to us too?
About Iraq? No.
When he bombed, he wasn't lying.
No.
But
here's what we know about Iraq. Here's what we know about Iraq, okay? Before the Gulf War, Iraq not only had a biological and a chemical weapons program, they were actually also developing nuclear weapons. In fact, back in 1982 at the Osiris nuclear plant. I'm talking about under Reagan. Iraq had a nuclear weapons program. The Israelis, in fact, destroyed the Osirik nuclear plant to round condemnation. Ronald Reagan condemned Israel for that preemptive attack. I happen to think it was a good idea. I'm glad Israel destroyed their nuclear weapons program.
Okay,
then going into the late 80s and before the Gulf War, yes, Iraq did have a chemical biological weapons program. After the Gulf War, which, by the way, I supported, and some people didn't, but I did, we found evidence of this, and the UN inspectors were set about to destroy these things. And what did they do? They went around all around the country. They tagged the plants, and we set about destroying them. In fact, one of the things Bill Clinton has said, and he wasn't lying here either, is when he said we destroyed far more chemical and biological weapons in the years after the Persian Gulf War than we did during the Persian Gulf War. What happened in 1998? What happened is there were still a few depots left. We insisted the inspectors go in. Saddam Hussein refused. And so President Clinton bombed the last known chemical and biological weapon sites in Iraq. He was right to do so, absolutely. I'm glad they were destroyed. And I'm also glad that Saddam Hussein was never able to develop a capability after that. I, you know what, John? I will give you a further chance to speak after the break. We also have other callers on the line. I will get to you too. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
It's bad enough if you suffer asthma, but as a parent, the agony of watching your child struggling for breath must be agony beyond measure. What if there was a natural, effective, drug-free answer to asthma? You'd want to know, wouldn't you? Well, I've been reading up on a little-known clinical trial at a major hospital that suggests you can be rid of asthma, asthma symptoms, and sinus and allergy symptoms to breathe easily, calmly, and in a more natural, relaxed way. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts.com. H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. You've got 90 days to decide if this program works for you. If it doesn't, you get your money back. Go to www.healthstarproducts.com.
Like most parents, you probably see your child as the typical smart, well-adjusted kid.
Camouflage. C-A-M-O-U-F-L-A-G-E. Camouflage.
Well, your child might not be as well-adjusted as you think.
Issues. I-S-S-U-E-S. Issues.
And if you knew there was somebody in particular who could help your child?
Daddy. D-A-D-D-Y. Daddy.
Wouldn't you want them to help? Well, the truth is, Dad, you're that person. Just by being an involved dad and spending time with your child, you're taking an active role in your child's social and emotional well-being. You're also increasing their chances of succeeding academically and staying in school. So don't take for granted how normal and smart your child seems.
Balance. B-A-L-A-N-C-E. Balance.
Because children need fathers who love and care for them just as much as they need mothers. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative, 100 Black Men of America, and the Ad Council. Call 1-800-790-DADS for free, helpful information.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Okay, we know now the government didn't tell us the truth about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, but now Republicans say, okay, the government told us things that were false, but we didn't mean to. It was a mistake, yes, but it wasn't intentional. And I've got a caller on the line, and I got to give you credit, John, for holding to your position and for daring to call into a radio show that, you know, where I disagree with you. But you're holding firm to your position that yes, it was just a simple mistake, I guess.
Well, no, I'm saying that it was a mistake, but it was a mistake that everybody was making. I'm talking all the way from Democratic senators to other countries, France, whatever.
Senators.
All thought he had him. Even from what I understand, there was people in his administration that thought they had him.
Well, the thing is that the people who had the most information, of course, were the president, the vice president. They had the information from all our intelligence sources.
His house in the wrong way, or his mansion in the wrong way, and they'd kill him. I mean, it's
John. He's a bad guy, like dozens of bad dictators around the globe. But answer me this: why do you think the president refuses to allow an independent commission to look into how intelligence was used in the war? Why do you think that is?
There's been so much of this going on. You're always looking backwards at what happened.
So it doesn't matter whether it was intentional or not.
Do you have a plan to get us out?
I do, and I promise I will go into it into the next hour. But I got to get to some other callers. All right, thanks for your call, John. I appreciate it. I just want to show that when pushed about the question of was it intentional, was it accidental, the next comment by Republicans is generally, okay, what do we do now? All right, we attacked the beehive. What do we do now? It's a fair question, even though they're avoiding the topic. I am going to get to that in the next hour. First, let me, though, get to Michael in San Diego. Michael, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yes, Mr. Levine, I'm calling because I'm listening to this fool that you've got on the other line. I'm a Republican. I'm a vet there. And I'm going to tell you point blank. I can't vote Democrat, but that's a whole different issue. It's because you people are basically wusses, except for Murtha. If Murtha ran for president, I'd give every penny that I could possibly give. Because the man understands what taking care of America is all about and why the armed forces is important, and he ain't afraid to stand up to these fools. This country has been taken over by extremists. You're sitting there telling these people that we don't know whether or not 9/11 was going to happen. We don't know whether or not Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, and at the clock, we knew they didn't have it. Our government knew he didn't have it. Maybe Bush didn't know, but I think Bush is the pawn. The more I listen to him speak, I mean, the guy's a babbling idiot. And so, yeah, I can't believe that they'll let this guy run the country. But that's a different issue. The people running this country knew. The Egyptian tribe, let's just throw some stuff out there. 4 hours after 9/11. AP has got a memo which Tom Russert shows to Rumsfeld the following Sunday, stating that Rumsfeld, in his Security Intelligence Committee meeting, which they call immediately after the 9/11, and that's the heads of every major intelligence agency in the United States deals with, the MIA, the CIA, the FBI, et cetera, et cetera. They're telling these people, tie this to Iraq. Tie this to Iraq. You got the Downing Street memos. All you got to do is wait a minute. It's not like there's just one piece of paper. We've got multitude paper saying Bush knew.
And, Michael, don't forget.
Bush again. Scratch Bush. The regime.
The regime knew. Michael, also, don't forget Richard.
We knew. We knew because the Egyptian prime minister called the White House a week before and said, you got it coming. It's going to be in New York, and it's probably going to be a financial center or a military complex.
And, Michael, don't forget Richard Clark, who said, it testified, in fact, before the commission, that Bush told him to find a connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. He looked. He said, Mr. President, there is no connection. I'm in charge of counterterrorism. The president said, look again. He came back a second time and said, I'm sorry, Mr. President, there is no connection. It's all Al-Qaeda. It's all Afghanistan. The president said, go back and look a third time. I am curious, though, Michael, why you wouldn't vote for the Democrats. If you'll stay on, we're going to go into the next hour, 877-528-TALK.
I've got a pop quiz for you. How well can you do? What's the last magazine you bought at the checkout line? What's the last book your kid checked out of the library? Who did your basketball team pick in the draft? Who did your kid pick to sit next to in lunch? Name a book on the bestseller list. Name a book in your kid's backpack. Who is president of the United States? Who is president of your kid's student council? Can you name three R&B artists? Can you name three artists your kids studied in school?
Know what really matters. When you know all about your kid's school, you know all about your kid. Not only will your relationship benefit, so will your kid. When kids have parents involved in their school, they have higher grades, better attendance, and more self-esteem. Visit www.pta.org to find 100 simple ways to get involved. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
USA Radio Network News. I'm David Lowe reporting. A strong earthquake struck in southern Iran overnight. Jackson Ivey reports.
Three villages were badly damaged on the Gulf island of Keshem. Iran's official news agency says the quake had a magnitude of 5.9. The U.S. Geological Survey puts it at a 6.1 magnitude.
At least 50 more people were injured in the quake. Two people were killed and seven others hurt after a Greyhound bus carrying more than 40 people overturned on California Highway 101 in Santa Maria. A spokeswoman for Greyhound says the company will assist in the investigation. President Bush made several statements about terrorism this week. He also participated in Republican fundraising events for candidates in Arizona, El Paso, and Maryland. USA Radio Network White House correspondent Connie Lawn reports.
President Bush meets with Customs and Border Patrol officials at the Davis Air Force Base in Tucson, Arizona on Monday. Tuesday, he focuses on border security in El Paso. Wednesday, the president speaks about the war on terror at the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis. He is expected to repeat his pledge that American troops will be drawn down as the Iraqis can better defend themselves. Thursday, President Bush makes a speech about World AIDS Day. Later, he meets with the Archbishop of Washington and lights the national Christmas tree. Connie Lawn, USA Radio Network News, Washington.
You're listening to news on the USA Radio Network.
This is a Multiview report. Wake up and smell the coffee. 1 to 2 cups a day may keep cancer and heart disease away. A recent University of California at Davis study suggests coffee is the number one source for disease-fighting antioxidants in the American diet. Plus, the aroma forms potent antioxidants, possibly preventing cancer. Whether it's regular or decaf, experts say the antioxidant level in the aroma of 1 cup of either regular or decaf-brewed coffee is equivalent to 3 oranges. Single-serve systems deliver a cup of coffee with the best aroma. Frank LaRusso of Flavia.
Single-serve systems like the Flavia Fusion Drink Station brews coffee, cappuccino, and latte drinks, one serving at a time, ensuring the coffee and its aroma is fresher than a cup made with a glass pot. Flavia brews coffee and over 30 other hot drinks at 43 cents a cup in under a minute, and is a fast, economical way to support what may be your healthiest habit.
For more on fresh, single-serve brewing, visit myflavia.com. I'm Danielle Adair.
8 Sunnis in Iraq have been arrested in an assassination plot. USA Radio Network's Richard Curtis has more.
Police in the northern city of Kirkuk have arrested the men for plotting to assassinate the investigating judge who prepared the cases against Saddam Hussein. The men were carrying a document from former top Hussein deputy Izzat al-Duri ordering them to kill the judge. Al-Duri is the highest ranking member of the Hussein regime still at large and is believed to be at least the symbolic leader of Ba'athist loyalists still fighting the new Iraqi government. Richard Curtis, USA Radio Network News.
Two people are hurt after monorail trains collided with each other in downtown Seattle last night. About 70 passengers were on board the trains at the time of the accident. According to the Seattle Times, the accident is expected to put the system out of service until early next year. It's the second serious accident for the monorail in less than 2 years. You're listening to news on the USA Radio Network.
Hi. I'm David Orrick. When you call 1-800-989-4200, you get a real person within seconds, not a five-minute menu of buttons to push. Here's another old-fashioned idea. My 8-pound Orrick XL vacuums are built to last long after you've thrown the other brands away. Call 1-800-989-4200. I'll send you one to try risk-free for 30 days. Of course, if you'd rather talk to a machine, you can always call someone else.
Travelers are headed back home. Many of the estimated 37 million who left Wednesday for their Thanksgiving travel destinations are headed back home today, making for one of the busiest travel days of the year. And a Mayo Clinic study finds Parkinson's disease may have more to do with your chemical makeup than the environment you're exposed to. Dr. Demetrius Margunnery says the loss of brain fluid known as dopamine has been linked to Parkinson's and can actually shape your personality.
So imagine if you have a condition that gives you less dopamine in your brain. You may be more introverted, you may be less pleasure-seeking, you may be more mainstream.
Dr. Margunnery says the loss of dopamine can actually lead to symptoms of Parkinson's and as more highly educated people tend to recognize the symptoms of Parkinson's more often. There's more news online at usaradio.com, and I'm David Lowe reporting for the USA Radio Network.
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
To match your pretty eyes.
Nope. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more.
Who taught you that?
Mommy.
By 6th grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science, which they'll need for most future jobs. Keep her interest alive. For ideas, go to girlsgotech.org. It's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
When you're weary.
In times of trouble, in times of crisis, the American Red Cross is there, providing shelter, a warm meal, a helping hand. Victims of disasters need your help now. Your support for the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund makes help possible. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today.
Over troubled water, I will lay me down.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is the second hour. In the first hour, we focused on the lies the administration told us and whether or not they were lies. We all agree, even the Republicans, interestingly, even Bush and Cheney will now admit they told us things that were false to get us into the war with Iraq. But now the question is, sort of a back line of defense, did they know it was false? And then on in the second hour, I want to talk about what do we do now. I mean, even if our friend, in the analogy I gave, shouldn't have hit the beehive, shouldn't have let all the bees out when he should have gone after the bear, right, Al-Qaeda, that was attacking us. What do we do now that the bees are stinging us? Got some callers on the line. If you want to join in this discussion, agree or disagree, it's really easy to do. Pick up the phone and dial 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. I had John earlier from San Diego who tried really hard, I think, to give the Republican argument. I think he gave gave a real yeoman's try. I just think it's very hard to defend that. Now I've got Michael on the line, and Michael agrees with me that they manipulated the war, that they lied to get us into war, but tells me that as much as he doesn't trust the administration, he still wouldn't vote for the Democrats. Michael, I want to ask you, welcome you back and ask you, why is that?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. I want to finish up something, though, from the previous conversation.
Because okay.
It's important that these people, who I happen to be one or used to be one of them, understand what's really going on in this country. We basically have what, for lack of a better term, and I hate to use the term, a Nazi corporate takeover of our country. The voting machines is a prime example. There is hard evidence. It's not just circumstantial. It's hard evidence that the Diebold machines are rigged. It's not built on an access platform. A firm in New Zealand has proven there's a back door. NYU did the experimentations with a. This is evidence. It's done. It's proved that Diebold is rigged. We know the SS is rigged. Hell, they found a software patch that says Rob George. You have to know something about computers programming. It's a subroutine. It was the one that flipped the votes. And yet our country is allowing this to happen because people like John, who you just spoke with, are too afraid to actually accept the possibility that we've been taken over. We're not in America anymore.
John,
now,
just
I
so you know,
question, why I don't want to vote for Democrats.
But before you answer that question, let me just say this. I have done reports on the voting machines. In fact, I think voting is the most important issue in America, even more important than Iraq, folks, because if you're not allowed to vote...
It's the only issue.
It is. And I just want to say real quick before I ask you this. I've done reports on Clint Curtis, who is the Republican in Florida who designed exactly the way to cheat with the Florida voting machines. I have also done repeated stories on the exit polls, which would be... There's about a million-to-one chance, folks... That George Bush accurately won the election in 2004, if you believe the exit polls, and no one has given us any reason to believe the exit polls were false. Just as much as you know, I've dealt with these issues.
This is another thing. Republicans, they threw out this thing a while back. Oh, they asked the wrong people the questions. Look, exit polls are scientific studies that have a 40-year history of...
Right, and the guy who did it, Warren Mottovsky, did it in Ukraine, too. But let me ask you this. Okay, so, Michael, you and I basically agree on the facts. You and I don't have no dispute here. There's no daylight between us on the facts, and yet you're telling me that despite all that, and I'll be the first to tell you the Democratic Party isn't perfect, but you wouldn't vote for them over these clowns?
You don't have anybody to vote for. You got Kerry. I know people in Nam who work with the man. The man did it right, and yet Kerry came off because this
let's get past Kerry.
Created this image that he was a wuss and that he was a coward. I mean, I actually got emails saying that he blew a grenade up so he could get out of Vietnam because that was his third Purple Heart.
Which is ridiculous.
And you let it happen. You just let it happen. I know the media is controlled by these people. I know that they have a tremendous amount of power with the money that they spend. But you know, there should be a revolution. There should be representatives standing on the front of Congress with guns, saying, "No, you're not taking over my country. You're not going to get away with this." And the media should be forced to read the Downing Street memo. And look, the government just came out with a freaking report. They have not covered it one iota in any media. Okay, and I'm not going to get into it. You ask why I can't vote for Democrats.
Right.
Because you're wusses. I will not vote for somebody that's not a winner. The reason, and I know a lot of my friends vote for Bush, because Bush is a winner. Bush is not a loser.
Michael,
Kerry was a loser. We don't want a loser. We want a winner in America.
But Michael,
now you give us a winner, and I'll vote for him.
But Michael, look, you just announced, Michael. Hold on, give me a chance. I've let you go on, and I agree with you largely what you're saying. But you've just described fraudulent voting machines. In other words, Kerry did win the election. Bush didn't win the election, and yet you're calling him a loser. And I'm not saying that Kerry is the best Democrat around. I happen to not think he is. Frankly, I supported Wes Clark, General Clark, in the primaries. You can't say that you're not going to vote for any Democrats and at the same time work to solve the very problems that you and I agree exist.
I'm voting Green Party because I know at least my vote will count. They're not afraid of the Green Party. So they're not going to try to change the votes of the Green Party. They're going to change the votes of the Democratic Party. And I don't want my vote wasted. So
well,
I'm
Michael,
vote for the Green Party.
I thank you for your call. I do need to get to other callers that are on the line. I want to tell you this. I certainly agree with you on the facts, but I think with due respect, when you vote for the Green Party, you throw your vote away. You can do it at the local level, that's fine. But if you're not going to vote for the Democrats, imperfect as they are, then it seems to me you're just helping the Republicans. If you don't like the Democratic Party, work to change it from within. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
Tired of losing in the casinos and being in the hole? Learn how to win at Blackjack with Blackjack for Winners. Call 1-800-214-7012. 1-800-214-7012. This is the DVD the casinos do not want you to see. According to Tommy Hyland, a legendary blackjack professional, this DVD teaches an easy way to count cards and beat the casinos at their own game of blackjack. It takes only three easy steps. One, basic strategy. Two, card counting. And three, money management. It's just that easy to beat the casinos at their own game of blackjack. Order right now and you'll receive two instructional DVDs, 52 flashcards making basic strategy a snap, and a reference card you can take into the casinos with you. All of this for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Order today at 1-800-214-7012. 1-800-214-7012. Start learning to win at Blackjack today with Blackjack for Winners. 1-800-214-7012. 1-800-214-7012. From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We are discussing, well, not just that the administration told us untruths. The interesting thing is that even Republicans, even the most, ask your most foremost Republican colleagues, friends, neighbors, they will agree with you that Iraq didn't have weapons of mass destruction and that the president told us that they did. But they will say, oh, they didn't mean to tell us that. It wasn't really a lie. It was an accident. And unfortunately, I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate, but the information is coming out that time after time after time again, the administration knew the information they had was weak, and they still told us it was true. And now the next question is, you know, what do we do about it, right? How do we resolve the issue? How do we get out of Iraq? Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK. Let me go to John in New York. John's been holding on a very long time. Thank you for doing that. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
You're welcome, Mark. It's great being here.
Thank you.
You run a very interesting radio show. It's my first time listening. I had a hard time getting myself to call up.
Okay. Well, you agree with me, disagree, or somewhere in between?
Well, you offer a lot of information, a lot of questions, and a lot of hearsay, and it's really hard to make a determination. As you know, all of us, the rest of us, basically, we work for a living, and we catch whatever we can in between the lines. But you run a lot of information there, and it is interesting. I happen to be a Republican, and I do support Bush, but as you know, we all beat to a different drummer. That's what makes this country so great. My family comes from former Yugoslavia, Croatia, and basically I know what it's like to be an oppressed person. And I agree, although we have different reasons why Bush is in there, in Iraq, I agree that we should be in there to get rid of a totalitarian regime from the face of the earth, because we are the leader of the free world.
Well, John, let me ask you this.
Continue that effort.
Let me ask you this. All right, I am no fan of dictators. I actually supported the Iraqi Liberation Act back in 1998. Clinton did too. They didn't talk about U.S. force, but talked about us helping Iraqis liberate themselves. Frankly, I was disappointed back in the Persian Gulf War when the Kurds and the Shiites themselves rose up to attack Saddam Hussein. We promised we would help them, and George Bush Sr. didn't help them. I am all for helping groups themselves overthrow dictators. I'm all for that. But for the record, I also supported our actions, and I don't know whether you did or you didn't, but in both Bosnia and Kosovo, because particularly in Kosovo, we were preventing genocide from going on. But let me ask you this. Right now in Sudan, I'm sure you know, there is genocide going on right now, largely Arabs killing blacks, and we're doing absolutely nothing about it. Can you agree with me that that is a humanitarian crisis that is far more serious than anything Saddam Hussein was doing 2 years ago?
War right now, and resources are very limited, and war is expensive.
Right, but the question is, anytime you go to war, you make choices, right, John? I mean, we decided to go to war in Iraq. We decided, in fact, to pull troops out of Afghanistan, out of attacking al-Qaeda, a war I supported, because after all, they attacked us first. They killed 3,000 Americans.
Well, we still are in Afghanistan. We even have some American POWs there that are held illegally at the present moment.
John, let me ask you this. Do you happen to know, you may not know, you're right, you've got other jobs to do. Do you happen to know the troop strength in Afghanistan versus the troop strength in Iraq? Do you happen to know those figures? Because I have them. Let me tell them to you.
I'm assuming about 30%.
Okay. It's actually about 10%. We have about 15,000 troops in Afghanistan, ranges between 10 and 15,000. We have between 100 and 150,000 troops in Iraq. That's interesting. The other thing that's interesting that a lot of people don't realize is Afghanistan's a larger country. It is about 50% larger in area and 50% larger in population. In fact, Afghanistan's about the size of Texas. Iraq is only about the size of California. So here you have a country that's 50% larger in population and in area, a country from which a group attacked and murdered 3,000 Americans, a country that every American I'm aware of and every member of Congress save one supported fighting back. It's pure self-defense. Even Arab countries supported us, and yet for some reason, we have 10 times the troops in Iraq that we do in Afghanistan with Osama bin Laden still alive, with Mullah Omar still around. Do you think that was a good move? I mean, don't you think we should have more troops, at least in Afghanistan, than Iraq?
Of course we should. But as you know, resources are thin. Even today, I read in the Daily News that Iran and North Korea are in talks as far as nuclear armament goes.
Absolutely right.
And we need to get on top of that, too.
Right, but
maybe there's other reasons why we went into Iraq originally, and who knows what they might be. As you know, the government does hold things secret.
Right,
and
but
my job as an American, as a taxpaying American, to trust the government that I voted into the office, and I do.
See, that's where we truly disagree, John. I think it's my job as an American to consider the president, the vice president, as working for me. I live in a democracy.
They
vote. They work for me.
And we place our faith in our government.
But you know what?
Because we voted them into office.
John. Let me ask you something, because I'm not sure. Can you tell me, what do you do for a living? I don't know if you want to tell me. Is that okay?
Say again?
What do you do for a living?
I am a former aircraft mechanic. Presently, I work construction.
Okay, let me ask you this. You work construction. You probably have subcontractors that work for you, right?
Of course.
Okay. Now, do you just trust that your subcontractor is going to do the right thing? You watch them, right? You make sure they do the right thing.
They have presidential debates, and the president and the nominees, they debate out the issues, and the best man wins.
Okay, but isn't it our job?
I agree with that President Bush actually won the election, or he didn't. That's a totally different story.
It is a different issue. But what you said, John, is very interesting to me. You said we have to trust our government is doing the right thing. I know you hope your subcontractors are doing the right thing. In fact, I mean, you hired them. You really want them to succeed. But at the same time, you look over them. You make sure they're doing the right thing. And if you ask your subcontractor, what did you do here?
Well,
and he refuses to tell you.
We have a system to make sure everything stays in check.
Yeah, but we don't have checks and balances because we have an Senate Intelligence Committee that is demanding these documents from the president. The president is stonewalling them, not giving these documents, and the Senate Intelligence Committee can force those documents. They can do it through use of a subpoena. What a subpoena is, as I think you probably know, John.
Well, they should.
Well, of course they should, but you know what? Under Bill Clinton, the Republican Congress issued more than 1,000 subpoenas. You know how many subpoenas the Republican Congress has issued against President George Bush? Answer, zero. Not a single one. They're not doing their job, John. They're not watching the president. It's like a contractor letting their subcontractor run amok. I don't think we should automatically trust the president. I don't care whether he's Democrat or Republican.
You can't trust anybody in today's day and age.
Right.
But we did vote. We are a democratic country.
Right.
And we did our part as American citizens and voted the person in. And we need to make sure that our voting systems are working correctly, this, that, and the other thing, and that the right person that is won is actually put into office. I feel President George Bush did win the election. Whether there's evidence against that, I really don't know.
But I'm going to a different question, John, not to the election. And we have to take a break, and I got some more calls. But I want to get back with you, John, because I think we're starting to agree a little here. I think you're – and correct me if I'm wrong when we come back. But I think you're coming around to my view that you can't just trust the president to do the right thing. You got to watch him, whether it's Congress or the American people or the courts. You got to watch him. That's what checks and balances.
You
that's what the Constitution is all about.
When Bloomberg was at his, one of his debates, and the heckler showed up with the president's face on, with the peace sign in his hand, that was the funniest thing ever.
Hey, God, John, I want to take a break. When we get back, I want to get back to this question of whether or not we should automatically trust the president. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series. 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
Bad breath stinks. Nobody wants to have it, and nobody wants to smell it. It's an embarrassing clinical condition that can dramatically ruin the quality of your life. I'm Dr. Harold Katz, founder of the California Breath Clinics. I've smelled more bad breath than any other doctor on this planet. I've helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you to conquer bad breath, sour, bitter taste, and dry mouth with my TheraBreath products. My book, The Bad Breath Bible, is the number one reference on this misdiagnosed disorder. Whether you're worried about occasional bad breath from garlic and onions, or if you have chronic halitosis due to diabetes, tonsils, or alcohol-based mouthwash, The Bad Breath Bible has a solution for you. The truth is you can't smell your own breath, so you never know if you're offending someone. That's why everyone needs to read it.
Call for your free copy of the Bad Breath Bible while supplies last. You'll also receive free TheraBreath samples, an amazing line of products that completely eliminates bad breath. Call for your free samples now. 800-517-9885. 800-517-9885. That's 800-517-9885.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing the manipulation of intelligence by the president to get us into war. And I got to say, I've had a couple firm supporters of the president call in, and I'm glad you did. I really am. First of all, I admire your courage. You're willing to call into a radio show where the host disagrees with you. I really appreciate you doing that. And I want to encourage people, agree or disagree, to call in. Unlike Rush Limbaugh, I don't hang up on people that disagree with me. I don't screen calls. You're always welcome to call in. 877-528-8255. And hey, the only thing that can happen is the phone could be busy, and then you just have to call back a little later. But John, before the break, at first you said, you know, we just got to trust the president. But I was making an argument to you that we can't just trust him. We need Congress to look over him, the courts, and the American people all to look over his shoulder. And I think you were agreeing with me, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, of course they need to look over his shoulder. It's part of the checks and balances. We have the media. It's part of that. And
all
hopefully
right.
The media is not biased in any way, and they do their job. But I also created a website that we all can participate in as Americans, where we can get into terrorists' faces for a way to get the terrorists to become inside informants for the FBI through the website memberships.
Okay.
Now, what we're going to do, how you can think of this is as an analogy. You know the Inquirer and magazine and the Globe magazine,
right.
The basically the tabloids that talk about all the stars and things of that sort.
Right.
Well, basically Osama and the likes of him are the stars, and we're going to be the paparazzi.
Okay. Well, John, I think that's a fine idea. In fact, you can post it right there on my website. Go to the blog at radioinsidescoop.com, and feel free to post your website there. I do have some other callers, though, and I just want to sort of ask one last question.
Sure.
Michelle from Long Beach, California, writes on the blog a good point, which I hadn't brought up before, which is that even the resolution that Congress had authorizing the war said that the president has to report within 48 hours of using military force why diplomacy was insufficient, and he has to report to the Congress every 60 days. Now, even the ones who supported the war required the president to report to Congress. He's refused to do so. He's refused to do an investigation as to how intelligence was used. He's refused to turn over this president's daily brief. Even if you trust the president, Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. Can you join with Democrats, John, in calling your representative and saying, we want to see this September 21st presidential daily brief? Can I get you to agree with me on that?
Well, if the I'm former U.S. Air Force, and I do firmly believe that you need to know on a need-to-know basis. And for that matter alone, I do disagree. If there's any reason for national security, it's being withheld. Although I concur with that.
How about this? Not divulge to the public, but at least divulge to the Senate or to the Senate Intelligence Committee. Can we agree that at least Congress has a right to know what the president's doing? Or at least the intelligence committees have a right to know? Can we agree on that?
Well, the people that need to know have a need to know, and if they are amongst that group, well, then yes.
John, but look, what if, just say, hypothetically, and I don't think you think it's out of the realm of possibility, what if the president really is lying to us? What if the vice president really is lying to us? What if the information that they're withholding precisely shows that they're lying to us? How do you check it unless you allow Congress that exact check and balance that you were praising just earlier?
Well, this is why we voted the best man in office to do the job that he's been voted to do, and we need to put faith in him.
Oh, John, I can't disagree with you more, but I'll tell you this. I appreciate your calling into the Inside Scoop. I hope you call again sometime.
Thank you, Mark. It's site-terrorist.com.
Okay, fair enough. We've got some other callers on the line. We've got to take a break, though. I hope you'll all hang on, Diane, VJ, and Jack. We're going to get to your calls. And when we come back, I also want to talk about what is the solution now. We have a president who, you know, instead of going after the bear of Al-Qaeda, attacked the beehive of Iraq. The bees are all stinging us. Is Murtha right? Do we need to get out? I think we do. I don't think we should run tomorrow, but I think we should withdraw, and I think you'll see that before November 2006, the next elections, even Republicans will come around to the idea we need to withdraw from Iraq. I will get to your calls, I promise, right after the break. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
This is Newsbreak. At least 10 people were killed from an earthquake off the southern coast of Iran. The U.S. Geological Survey says the quake was measured at 6.1 magnitude. More than 50 others were injured in the quake. The trial of former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein is set to begin tomorrow, resume again tomorrow in Baghdad, but it may be postponed again. Defense lawyers are expected to ask for more time to prepare their case. The government might want to delay it so as not to disrupt the December 15th parliamentary elections. Two people were killed today after a Greyhound bus carrying more than 40 people overturned on California Highway 101 in Santa Maria. Santa Barbara County Fire Battalion Chief Eric Peterson also said seven people were critically injured in the crash. A spokeswoman for Greyhound says the company will assist in the investigation. And travelers are heading back home. Many of the 37 million who left Wednesday for their Thanksgiving travel destinations are heading back home today, making for one of the busiest travel days of the year. There's more news at USARadio.com. I'm David Lowe reporting for the USA Radio Network.
The following from News Broadcast Network. There are certain survival tips every host needs for this year's holiday season. Style Network host and author of Modern Girl's Guide to Life, Jane Buckingham.
You know, a prepared host can handle anything the holidays throw at her. Make your holiday get-together stress-free by offering overnight guests a small basket of may-have-forgotten toiletries in the bathroom, even keeping on hand quick cleanup fixes like the Clorox bleach pen to tackle stains.
I'm Lee Shepard. The new Seen It Harry Potter DVD game. The interactive DVD-based board game includes challenges featuring everyone's favorite characters and brings the magic of the first three Harry Potter films, plus select content from the fourth movie, to life. The game tests players' knowledge through observation, wordplay, puzzle solving, and memory To find out more about CNET, Harry Potter, log on to MattelGameFinder.com. I'm Lee Shepard.
I'm Terry Graydon with our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
The Environmental Protection Agency is looking into a compound used in non-stick Teflon coatings. The chemical called perfluorooctanoic acid, or PFOA, has been showing up in blood samples all over the country. Animal studies suggest that it can cause brain tumors, and the agency has just received a report suggesting that it is a likely human carcinogen as well. No one knows quite how PFOA gets into the body. The manufacturer, DuPont, says it is destroyed during the manufacture of non-stick pens, so there's none left in the Teflon coating. DuPont also maintains that its tests show no health problems related to the chemical. Now it's up to the EPA to determine whether PFOA should be regulated. Then the agency may need further studies before it can make that decision. This is Joe Graydon and the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing the administration's manipulation of intelligence to get us into war, and they're trying to rewrite history. They're trying to say, no, no, we didn't lie, we didn't know about it. But the evidence just keeps piling up, whether it's Paul O'Neill's division of Iraq into 10 different oil centers that the president did on 10 days into office, whether it's the September 21st presidential daily brief, whether it's the lies about uranium tubes, whether it's trying to commit treason, indeed, to get rid of Joe Wilson arguing about uranium, defector curveball, example after example, where the administration knew or should have known that, in fact, they were lying. And I will promise, before I close today, to go through the National Intelligence Estimate to show you the differences between what the president knew and what Congress knew when we went to war. But first, to the phones, 877-528-TALK. Diane, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark. I'd like to make two quick points.
Okay.
First of all, I totally appreciate the anger on the part of the one caller who is frustrated with the Democratic Party. And something that I've started to do is whenever they ask for donations, in the envelope, prepaid envelope, I send back to them something about what's going on with the election, as far as, for instance, the last Ohio election where the vote was totally flipped along the electoral changes they wanted to make in Ohio.
Right.
And then I refer them to the Brad blog and to Free Press, and I say I'm not giving one penny until you start speaking out about this and making the American people aware of what's going on every time they're in front of the camera. I think that's so important. And then the second thing I just want to say quickly is there's a great website. It's called Republicans for Humility. It's a Republican man who's a physician, and he has a wonderful article here called Confessions of a Repentant Republican, and he has a link about the media. It's excellent. So those are just two, a suggestion, and then also just a heads up on this wonderful website that I shoot off to my Republican friends.
Okay, Diane, let me ask you this real quick before you go. You're in California, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, let me give kudos, and I hope you'll agree with me, at least to Senator Barbara Boxer for sticking up in the Ohio election for on that issue. Can we agree that she is at least one Democrat that's fighting on this issue?
Oh, absolutely, and that's another thing I say. I only give money directly to the Democrats who are progressive Democrats who stand up and say something and try to make it right.
So like the whole party isn't hopeless. I mean, you still got a senator.
No.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks for your call.
I do think they need to talk about it.
I think they
definitely do,
too. I've been pushing for that myself. Thanks very much for your call, Diane. Let me go to Jack in, I think, San Diego. Jack, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Well, you know, I agree with you that I think we should leave Iraq, but unfortunately, I think any attempt to pull back any of the troops before the 06 election is just going to be a head fake, because this administration is preparing to attack Iran and Syria. And to your Republican caller,
yeah,
even Reagan said, trust but verify.
Right.
You know, having a government is not a religious experience.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, the Republican-led Congress is playing the part of obstructionists. They're obstructing any investigation into this administration, especially the one into the fixing of the evidence that led us into this war.
Jack,
and the president and the vice president, they've already proven that they can't be trusted. I mean, they've authorized the use of torture in Iraq. They've authorized napalm and phosphorus. Those are chemical weapons that have been used against civilians in Iraq.
I mean, the irony that
appropriation of funds. There's $9 billion missing in Iraq. There's no bid contracts, and even Alawi, in an interview with one of the British newspapers, said that right now there's more human rights abuses in Iraq than there were under Saddam Hussein.
And that's the supreme irony. I mean, here it is that we said we were going to war in Iraq because we wanted to stop Saddam's torture chambers. We wanted to stop him from using chemical weapons. Turns out he didn't have chemical weapons. We are doing the same torture chambers, not just us, but the new government. You're absolutely right. Alawi's government, the government that we propped into power, is doing the same torture. We're doing it as well. And now, guess what? We're using chemical weapons. I mean, we're actually doing worse things than Saddam Hussein did. It's severe to me. I'll tell you this, though.
At least on the same level, but what hypocrites we are.
Yeah.
And I think the fatal flaw in your Republican caller was his admission that he doesn't keep himself informed.
Right. Right.
And I've got a suggestion for him. If you go to democracynow.com and just watch the news that with no commercials by Amy Goodman for 1 week, you'll have a whole different perspective on this.
Heck, even if you watch The Daily Show, and I'm not saying The Daily Show is as good as Amy Goodman, but even, and I think that's sort of the easiest way to get spoon-fed news, even Jon Stewart will tell you more truthful information than the Fox Propaganda Channel or any of them. And I just think you have to open your eyes. What strikes me about the caller, John, from New York, is that where he says, you know, I trust my president. Well, I know there are Catholics that believe the Pope is infallible, though frankly a lot of Catholics, I think, don't believe that. But I don't know of any American who should rightly believe that our president is infallible. I don't think Bill Clinton was infallible, and I really liked Bill Clinton. It is our job, and I'll tell you, even the Republicans, when you scratch them hard enough, John admitted this, admitted that it's the role of the American people and Congress and the courts to oversee their government. And then he was basically saying, yeah, it's their role, but I don't want them to do it. I tell you this, I don't think most Republicans, even Republicans, agree that Congress should just let the president do whatever he wants. I think people understand that's what our Constitution's all about. Let me just ask you one more thing, though. You said we're ready to invade Iran and Syria. You know, I don't think we have the troop strength. I think our recruitment is down. It's down really low. We're not getting
the
troops.
If you listen to Scott Ritter...
Yeah. That, by the way, is the former U.N. inspector, weapons inspector, just for people who didn't know, might not know.
His contention is that the initial phase is going to be strictly a bombing campaign, and that their authorization has already gone out for the use of nuclear weapons if they see fit. And I'm talking about the generals in the theater and in the Middle East, and don't forget that this president... ordered a whole new generation of low-yield nuclear weapons, bunker busters, to be developed. And he also changed our policy to allow for the first use of nuclear weapons, even against nations
that
don't possess them.
That's true. I don't think there's...
But don't count these people out. Even
we'll
though they're
see.
On the ropes, they're in trouble, they're dangerous.
We'll see. I agree that they're on the ropes, they're in trouble, and they're dangerous. Maybe I still am a bit of an optimist. I think if the presidential approval rating at 36%, I just don't think he dare starts a new war, but I guess time will tell. Jack, thanks for calling in. I thought you were a terrific call. Gave us a lot of good information.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to take a break now. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. There's still a lot to cover. I want to talk about what was in the National Intelligence Estimate and how we can finally maybe get out of Iraq. Back after this.
Do you dream of leaving your traditional 9-to-5 job, working whenever and wherever you want? Now it's possible to make your dream come true. In a moment, I'm going to give you a website that you'll want to visit to get started for free, joining over 7 million others just like you who've used this service. Just listen.
Last year, I earned well over $150,000, and this year looks even better.
If you've ever dreamed of starting your own home business, you'll want to visit our website and do what thousands of others just like you are going to do today.
I only work 3 days a week, and I'm up to $4,000 a month.
Over 7 million people aren't wrong. You owe it to yourself to start living your dream. So log on to this website, 20cashpower.com. That's 20cashpower.com. And get started today. It's free. So go to 20cashpower.com.
CashPower.com and start living your dream. 20CashPower.com.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-827-7658.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers in compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-827-7658. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-827-7658. That's 800-827-7658.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving. If you're anything like me, you go, you have Thanksgiving with family and friends and colleagues. And sometimes the discussion turns to politics, and you got people in your family, you got colleagues, friends, maybe some who aren't so well informed, but some are just true believers. They just can't believe the president would lie to us. The president of the United States would lie to get us into war. They can't even conceive of such a thing, even though we know it happened in the Spanish-American War. Anyone remember the Maine? It happened in the Vietnam War. Anyone remember the Gulf of Tonkin? And yes, of course, it happened in the Iraqi War. Indeed, the September 21st daily briefing, which the president still won't disclose, we know, and there's a great article, and I'm going to give it to you on my website at radioinsidescoop.com, in the National Journal, that goes through what we know about this presidential daily briefing in detail. I want to give you all the facts you need to confront colleagues who say, well, you know, I don't know that he lied to us. We know that what the president was told on September 21st, 2001, long before the Iraqi War, was consistent with everything he'd been told since then. The evidence just wasn't there, and that's from a high-level official. And the Senate Intelligence Committee concluded that the CIA's assertion that Saddam was reconstituting nuclear weapons and had chemical and biological weapons were, quote, overstated or not supported by the underlying intelligence provided to the committee. But here's the problem. The commissions also found that the CIA was largely right on Al-Qaeda and Iraq. And the question is, why was the president then saying, as he said on September 25th, 2002, you can't distinguish between Al-Qaeda and Saddam when you talk about the war on terror? Why was Cheney continuing to assert that Mohammed Atta, the pilot of one of the planes that hit the World Trade Center, had met in Prague, in the Czech Republic, with an Iraqi secret agent when the FBI had documents showing he was in Virginia Beach, Virginia at the time? You know, they had the credit card receipts. Why is it that they continue to lie about big things and little things? And one of the things I find most interesting goes to the National Intelligence Report. We have one of the callers in the first hour suggested, oh, Congress had the same information as the president. It's the same thing Dick Cheney has suggested. And again, I'll have on my website posted an article that goes through the differences between the public version of the National Intelligence Estimate and the secret version that was given to the president. Here are some examples. All right, the public version said, quote, most analysts assessed Iraq as reconstituting its nuclear weapons program. If left unchecked, it probably will have a nuclear weapon this decade. But the dissenting view said, and this, by the way, is by the State Department's intelligence arm, the Bureau of Intelligence Research, quote, the activities we have detected do not, however, add up to a compelling case that Iraq is currently pursuing what they would consider to be an integrated and comprehensive approach to acquire nuclear weapons. Iraq may be doing so, but the available evidence is inadequate to support such a judgment. And on and on and on. All the caveats, all the dissents, all the statements that they didn't have it, they just weren't there. They weren't there for Congress. They were only there for the president. And yet Dick Cheney has the audacity to say today Congress had the same information It's simply not true. I also want to thank Linda Vasconcelos. She wrote in to me, and I asked her to comment and post the comment on the blog. One of the callers in the first hour, the Republican that called in, said that, wasn't there a terrorist training camp in Iraq? It was one that I hadn't heard of. Linda points out that the training camp was actually training Saddam Hussein's forces to fight guerrilla tactics against us if we invaded. You can call that a terrorist training camp if you like, but frankly, it's just an army training base. It's the same kind of thing we have in the United States if we're attacked. You really can't blame him for that kind of thing. Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Let's go to Nick. Nick in San Diego. Nick, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, how you doing? This is my first time listening. I had a comment regarding your caller a couple minutes ago. I think he was the last caller, and he was talking about he doesn't think we have the troop, the actual troop numbers.
Yeah, I don't think we do.
Syria and Iran.
You think we do? Because
I think we have that, and you know, I'm a young guy in San Diego, a college student. I go to parties, go surfing and stuff. I talk to these guys out there that are returning. I don't think we have the troop psyche, the collective,
the
know,
morale.
I talk to guys that they have these hollow looks in their eyes, and they talk about having to shoot little kids and stuff like that. I mean, that's not right.
Nick, I agree with you. I don't think the will is there. I think it was there 3 years ago. I'll tell you, I know people who signed up after September 11th, and I give them all the credit in the world. They saw that a foreign power came and murdered mercilessly 3,000 Americans. They wanted to fight against Al-Qaeda, and they signed up, and instead of being sent to Afghanistan to fight Osama bin Laden, they were sent to Iraq. But I'll tell you this, I think Americans, just like you say, Nick, they know the truth now. They know they're not going to be sent, most of them, to Afghanistan. They're going to be sent to Iraq. They're going to be supporting a regime that's really just about headed for civil war. And I think you're right. I don't think there's the will for a draft, and I don't think there's enough recruitment to do a war. So what's interesting is not that Iran's not a danger. I actually consider Iran to be a bigger danger than Iraq ever was. But we have to use diplomacy. We can't always solve everything by forces. So I think you're right, Nick.
I don't think that young Americans understand that, you know, what is going on over there. A lot of the ones that haven't been, I mean, I've been in. I'm actually a veteran also. And I was Navy. I wasn't over there. But I've seen, like, a lot of these guys I go to school with in classes and stuff. They're talking about, you know, well, screw this. I'm going to go over there and I want to fight the Iraqis and all this. They think, you know, the government's still perpetuating this myth that we're doing the right thing over there. They're not letting this side of the story be told, and they're trying to suppress it on different kinds of radio, like I listen to a lot of public radio and stuff. They're trying to suppress it. These young guys coming back telling the real story, what's going on.
Yeah, Nick, you know what's really sad? I was watching over Thanksgiving vacation. I was watching the Army recruitment commercials. And one of them said, hey, you know, you sign up, if you're 16 years old and you sign up now, you get a sports watch. And then there was another recruitment commercial, which was even worse. It showed a video game. I don't even know the video game, but it showed, you know, people killing people in a video game. And it said, hey, you know, life is more interesting than a video game. And basically said, hey, you know, you can shoot real people. You don't have to shoot these, you know, fantasy people in a video game. And when our country is coming to that, I had to say, I thought it was a really sorry day.
I saw that when I was in Pensacola, they'd have the Army guys come talk to us, try and get us to be Army warrant officers, helicopter pilots.
Yeah.
And they'd show us these video games, like shooting people on the ground and stuff, out of helicopters and stuff. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, this is your training.
Here's the sad thing, Nick. We have a need for a military. I think the great majority of people that go in the military are right, honorable people. They're working hard. They're risking their lives for the country. Many, like I said, including some friends of mine, signed up because of the attack on September 11th and the response, which I supported, and I think just about every American did in Afghanistan. And now their lives are being snuffed out, wasted, hundreds of billions of dollars, trying to prop up one regime in the upcoming civil war. I got to tell you, Iraq is coming to a civil war. It's not a question of if. It's a question of when. It's going to happen. And I don't want Americans dying in that. If the Shiites and the Sunnis want separate countries, that's okay with me. You know, it's really none of my business. I don't think the Iraqis right now that are fighting for us want to fight for us. They want to fight for their country. And maybe if we leave, then maybe the fact that there's one battalion that's willing to fight, then maybe there'll be more than one. They're fighting for their country. Right now, with us there, we're the focus of the attacks. That's what Congressman Murtha was saying. They are more likely to join Al-Qaeda and Zarqawi and all the people that are attacking our troops than fighting for our troops, because they see us as the enemy, as the occupying force. And so I think it is time for us to withdraw, not tomorrow, but over the course of the next year. And, Nick, I want to thank you very much for your call. I hope you call back again sometime. We do have some other callers holding. We will get to you after the break. 877-528-TALK. There's still time for, one more call. The line is open. 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Is life moving too fast? If you're self-employed or a small business owner, you have no choice but to move as fast as you can. Sometimes you move so fast you don't take a close look at life's details. When was the last time you looked at your health insurance? If you don't have health insurance or if you have the wrong coverage, serious medical bills could mount up. That's where the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company comes in. We provide affordable health insurance for the self-employed and small business owners. If you don't have health insurance, call us. If you have coverage, call anyway. See if we can give you better coverage at a better price. Stay on track for affordable health insurance designed specifically for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call 877-735-6460. That's 877-735-6460. Home office located in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states and benefits may vary by state. Association membership may not be required to obtain insurance. Call 877-735-6460 for details.
Johnny Reese is a major league pitcher who has always had a talent for striking people out. Teams fell over themselves trying to recruit the young man with a menacing fastball. But baseball isn't his only talent. You see, he's also a major league hitman, a contract killer who likes his work. Reese can do more than strike you out. He can eliminate you altogether. Jack Kane, a retired New York City detective, has a talent of his own catching bad guys. When it comes to murder investigations, Jack Kane is a big leaguer, too. For action and suspense, Squeeze Play by Jim Harrington is a grand slam. You can buy a Squeeze Play at all your favorite online booksellers. But for Talk Star Radio listeners, there's a special deal. Buy Squeeze Play now at a special discounted price and receive a signed autographed copy from the author. Buy yours now at yourmorning.com. Buy yours for the holidays today, yourmorning.com.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just a few minutes left in the Sunday Weekly Review. So we didn't go after the bear, Al-Qaeda. We shot at the beehive. The bees are all now buzzing around us, and the Republicans are basically saying to the Democrats, all right, yeah, we got you into this war that you didn't want to get into. Yeah, okay, we lied to get you into the war, but help, help. What do we do now? I got to say, I think the Democrats have been pretty good. They are seriously debating the proper withdrawal. There are some differences between what Biden is saying and what John Murtha is saying. But they're seriously debating the issue. The Republicans, duck and cover. They're just basically calling the Democrats cowards, refusing to even debate the issue. They are not taking it seriously. They're running and hiding and hoping America doesn't notice before November 2006. And it's not that there aren't easy answers. If we leave, Iraq will likely develop into a bloody civil war. But you know what? If we stay, Iraq will develop into a bloody civil war. And the only difference is, in the first instance, right, we won't be there. And we won't have Americans dying. And I have no problem if they split up Iraq into Shiite land, Sunni land, and Kurdish land. Saddam Hussein is gone. Let's declare victory and get out. Let me go to Moomin. Moomin, you're my last caller. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, thank you. I tried a few weeks ago to convert you away from both parties, but you're still, in my opinion, making the same mistake again.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm still a Democrat. We're imperfect, but we're better than the alternative. That's my position. But go ahead, make your argument.
It's unfortunate. I hear that from a lot of people. They say, well, the lesser of the two evils. You don't have to do that. Just in general, historically speaking, what country used weapons of mass destruction or nuclear weapons in the world?
The United States.
Amen. So there is a policy. There is a policy that's run by Democrats or Republicans that we need to change. And there are a few people. If you vote for Democrats because you don't want Republicans to take over, that is a very, you're looking at things in a short-term way. So you need to look far ahead And you can back up two steps in order to jump 10 steps.
Okay, so, but Moomin, here's the deal. Look, I have no problem if you want to work to change our Constitution, to change our American system, to make it with runoff voting and party preferences and things to make third parties more likely to succeed in America, I'm all for that. But when push comes to shove, if you're going to, I'm afraid, throw your vote away in a presidential election, I think a vote, for example, for Ralph Nader last election, particularly if you're in a state like Ohio, was a very silly thing to do. Are there no Democrats that you like? You like Howard Dean? Do you like Kucinich? There's got to be some Democrat out there that I think would concur with your views, and you could work to help them in the Democratic primary, don't you think?
Well, I would vote for a person. I might vote for a Republican if that person has the right idea.
Oh, fair enough, as would I. And I have voted for Republicans in the past. It may surprise listeners to find out, but I have. But my point is in the national level, whatever you feel about the war in Iraq or anything else, the Democrats are at least struggling seriously. They're saying, look, we didn't get you into this mess, or at least most of us didn't, but we are struggling to figure out how to get out. John Murtha is trying to figure out how to get out. Joe Biden is trying to figure out how to get out. And even honest, decent Republicans like John McCain, and I do think he's an honest, decent man, but he's not actively giving us any roadmap to get out of Iraq. And so I think even McCain is dead wrong on this issue. I don't know of a single Republican, and correct me if I'm wrong, who's